Welcome to the March 14th, 2024 Alameda Recreation and Park Commission meeting. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Burney.
Present.
Commissioner Ray Dees.
Present, thank you.
Commissioner Robbins.
Here.
Vice Chair Schwartz.
Here.
Chair Alexander.
Here, thank you. First item on the agenda is non-agenda public comments. Anyone may speak for 3 minutes regarding a matter not on the agenda tonight. Remember, commissioners will not respond to your comments. And I'd like to read a letter from the city attorney first. The city welcomes speakers providing public comment, but must be advised that this is a limited public forum. As such, speakers must stay on topic if speaking to a particular agenda item, and if speaking during non-agenda public comment, they must address matters within the subject matter jurisdiction of the city. If speakers fail to follow these rules, they will be warned, and if they continue to disregard the rules, their opportunity to speak will end. Thank you. Do we have any speakers tonight?
We have 2 in-person speakers.
Okay.
We'll start with Speaker Rod Harris.
Speaker Harris, welcome.
Hello, I am Rod Harris. I just am here to thank all 5 ARPD commissioners and to thank Director Justin Long, as well as the park manager, Matt Nolan, for expanding access by dual lining a court at Laydecker. This required a year's worth of work for the commissioners and staff, and it's much appreciated. Intelligent and prudent choices and compromises were made. The financial cost was minimal, and the bang for the buck for the city of Alameda was excellent. I enjoy seeing new people out trying out and using our improved Laydecker facility. We volunteer to help them in any way we can. Thank you very much and appreciate your help.
Thank you very much for your comments. Next speaker.
Next speaker is Eddie Materi.
Speaker Materi.
Hi, ditto, but then I have 3 more minutes, so I'm not here to ask for anything and I'm not here to complain about anything. I'm actually here on behalf of the Alameda Pickleball community to also say thank you to the commission, thank you to Justin, thank you to ARPD. I'm gonna get a little technical, so if you don't play pickleball or tennis, maybe it won't mean much, but if you do, you'll appreciate this. It's not just that we got 4 more courts, it's that you painted the lines yellow on a blue surface, which sounds obvious, but if you go to Bushrod, it's blue on blue, Linda Beach is red on red, you can't see the lines. People love those yellow lines. We got great nets. Again, those locations have folding nets that fall apart. We got great nets on casters that people love. The lights at Laydecker are amazing. Everyone is already raving about those lights. You put us, Laydecker has 3 tennis courts. You put us on the separate court so that our balls are not running onto the tennis courts. The tennis balls don't come on ours. Like, it's fantastic. Everyone is just absolutely thrilled. And then I have a little something from Terry Rose, who is our spokesperson when she meets with Justin, and she can't be here tonight. She's a bit more formal than me. Dear commissioners and Director Long, I am sorry I couldn't be here tonight to personally thank you for the wonderful courts at Laydecker. We are so grateful to you for all your support, and I particularly want to thank Director Long for his thoughtfulness in finding solutions. I know there are many competing interests for his time, and we so appreciate the time and thoughts he put into this. Matt Nolan also needs to be recognized for the many months he put into looking for solutions. This expansion will allow more people to play pickleball, and hopefully we will expand it to younger kids and people with disabilities. We look forward to continuing to work with you. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Do we have any speakers on Zoom tonight?
No Zoom speakers.
Okay, so the non-agenda public comment is closed. Next item on our agenda is the staff communications or report from Director Long.
All right, thank you, Chair Alexander and commissioners. I've got quite a bit to get through tonight, so bear with me, and I'll be available for questions afterward. So there's a lot going on. For upcoming citywide community events, we have the Electrification Fair that is happening at Faction Brewing this Saturday, the 16th, from 1 until 4 p.m. It's an opportunity to talk with electrification professionals, learn about lowering your carbon footprint, and getting rebates and credits for work that you do at your home. The Alameda Youth Career and Job Fair is taking place at Ensenal High School Gym Wednesday, March 27th from 1 until 4 p.m. It's open to all high school students in Alameda, and this annual event connects our future workforce with employers and career training opportunities. Our traffic safety open house is taking place in the Stafford Room at the main library on Wednesday, April 3rd from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. to drop in and learn what the city is doing to improve safety, to share your ideas and concerns, and to get safety tips. Giveaways and light snacks will be provided. An Urban Cycling 101, a workshop by Bike East Bay, will be held at the Alameda Main Library on Tuesday, April 9th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Learn the rules of the road and bicycle safety, and visit the city website to register. The Coastal Cleanup is going to be happening at the Seaplane Lagoon Promenade and Waterfront Park Saturday, April 13th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Bring some gloves and a bucket and help clean up our beach and our coastline. The Crown Beach Cleanup as will be also happening at the main parking lot in 8th and Otis Saturday, April 20th from 9 a.m. until noon. And some supplies will be provided, but to be safe, bring some gloves and, you know, an extra trash bag with you. The Bike Festival at Love Elementary will be taking place from April 27th from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Free bike repairs, helmet fitting, safety knowledge, a food truck, music, and more. So please come on out and join us for that lovely Saturday. The 10th annual Play for the Parks Golf Fun Run and Dinner is coming up. It'll be on Monday, May 20th from 12:30 p.m. at the Karika Park South Course, followed by a 6 p.m. dinner and auction at the Harrison Recreation Center located in Lincoln Park. Please visit alamedaparks.org for more information, registration, and payment. Online registration is open. In our recreation department, we have a busy summer, and so our summer registration began on February 20th. All of our up-to-date programs are in our online guide and also can be searched through our registration process. For upcoming events for the recreation department, we have spring break camps that are happening the week of April 8th through 12th and will be provided at various locations. Like STEM will be occurring at Lidecker, sports will be at the Alameda Point Gym, and the recreational care, arts and crafts, games, cooking will take place at Lincoln Park. You can sign up on our website for those. The spring shindig is happening on April 20th from noon until 3 at the Alameda Point Gymnasium and Multipurpose Field. We've already been soliciting for vendors. We have over 40 so far, and this event will have an Earth Day focus, but there will also be a mobile fish exhibit with a 1500 aquarium on wheels that from California freshwater fish. So there's gonna be a lot of different activities out there, so it's gonna be an exciting day. And I believe it's the 80s theme this year. So be prepared to see some of us who are working there and volunteering in some interesting outfits. So, but that's gonna be a great event. The Alameda Walks program is back, and it's slated to happen Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. May through October to explore our neighborhoods and discover new areas of Alameda. The walks are approximately 1 hour and we'll meet at various locations. There's no registration required, but go to our website to find out the dates and the locations where you can meet the group. Our Startlight Movies in the Park at Alameda Point Field and at Lidecker are going to start here. The first one, I believe, is in May. And please, again, check our website for those specific details. All right. We also have partnered with Rhythmix again to offer a fun family concert series. It's the third Saturday of each month, May through October, except August, at various Alameda parks. This family-friendly festival brings the community together to experience and explore music, dance, visual art, and educational opportunities. And those are all listed on our website for their schedules and locations. The 56th annual Sandcastle and Sand Sculpture Contest is taking place Saturday, June 1st, 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. And our dive-in movie at Encinal Swim Center is taking place on July 19th, showing Lilo and Stitch. We do require that you get pre-registered on our website for that event. That's mainly just so we can plan on how many staff to have present. The Tiny Tots program, the spring registration for new students ages 3 to 5, begins Thursday, March 28th. There's currently openings in the program, so please feel free to sign up. The We Play event is still going on. It's a caregiver child group play that continues to have a lot of good participation, and it's a drop-in, and where you can, you don't have to pre-register, but it's $6 a visit, and you can buy a punch card or you can just pay there. And it's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. I believe it is at the Vet Center. Yes, it takes place at our Veterans Building. Our recreation after school program for kindergarten through fifth grade, program continues to provide Alameda with recreational and care until 5:30 p.m. on school days at select park sites. The spring program will start on March 18th. Registration is open now. There still are slots if people are looking for activities for the kids to do after school. We are also offering our mobile rec, or what we're calling community recreation. So this is where we bring games and park activities out and work with the Alameda Housing Authority. So we bring activities to them. That is currently happening every other Wednesday. And when summer hits, it'll be every Wednesday. The Teen Tween program, we've got the Underground Teen Center. It has about approximately 30 teeners each day. We're also working with the Alameda Youth Committee. They're gonna have a bake sale to generate funds for the teen only. They also work with us at other events where they sell baked goods or other food snacks to raise funds for that facility and that program. For sports, adult softball for spring and summer begins in April. There'll be men's, women's flag football. We'll take underway at Estuary Field. There is league capacity, is at capacity, so you can call us and get on a wait list. But please check out our website for more information and how to get on that wait list. Aquatics, we're still offering a variety of private and group aquatic lessons throughout the spring, specialty classes like aqua tots and Zumba. Currently, there are many aquatic summer camps that are available for registration, so please do not miss out and sign up for those programs. And for our aqua drama camp, intro to swim, and intro to dive camp, summer swim lessons will open registration on April 20th at the Shindig. There will also be people at the Shindig there signing up, so we'll have staff there signing people up for those summer swim lessons. We're having aquatic days, which are Saturdays and Sundays, that will take place on April 6th, 7th, 13th, 14th, and then June 1st and 2nd from 9:30 a.m. till 3:30 p.m. at the Encinal Swim Center. Now, this is where you can come and have the evaluation done for your swimming. So we need you to go to our website and register. I know it sounds like a broken record, but please, it's the fastest way to get yourself into a program with our current offerings. Tennis classes are going to begin this month for both adults and youth. I also want to point out, in recreation, we would like to do some staff recognitions here because we have some really great staff and who are dedicated. We've got Matt Schiffigans, who works with as a facility attendant. Matt's been specifically called out for his excellent customer service and helping people at the different facility rentals. Okay, take a deep breath. The Mastic Senior Center, they had the third annual drumming festival. It was held on the February 3rd. They saw over 400 community members come to the various shows and presentations. There were over 1,455 lunches served the month of February in partnership with Spectrum Senior Meals at the Mastic Senior Center. Over 200 bags of groceries were distributed in partnership with the Mercy Brown Bag organization. The Mastic Organic Garden harvested and distributed 67 bags of fresh produce and that were able to hand out to the members in the senior community. The Mastic Thrift Store saw 853 members visit, make purchases. The Senior Center is also in partnership with AARP to provide tax aid program that helps with tax preparation services through April 15th. To make an appointment, you can call 510-747-7501. So far, we have over 259 signed up for appointments. And we also have case management at MASTIC, which saw 27 MASTIC members. These resources help with other community resources, help with housing and medical documents, and helping with appointments. So those services are there. And they take the appointments are available Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays between 9 a.m. and 3. And for that, you can just call 510-747-7500. Our therapeutic recreation, on February 11th, MASTIC hosted a Super Bowl pizza party for the Leisure Club, and they had about 30 participants from the Leisure Club for that. MASTIC upcoming events, here we go. March for Meals is the week between March 18th and 22nd, raises awareness and supports senior meal distribution. Currently 295 seniors participate in our senior meals program. So and out there, we'll be out there next week as well. So the mayor's going to be there. Several council members are going to be there trying to distribute. I will be volunteering as well. The East Bay Elder Estates presentation, part of the MASTIC speaker series, will take place Wednesday, March 20th at 1 p.m. in the media room. Steve Zimmerman of AEC Living and Andrew Slakey of Visiting Angels brings years of experience to answer all of your elder care needs. You can register online at 510-747-7500. There'll also be the MASTIC Multimedia Artist Reception that will take place Tuesday, March 26th at 10 a.m. in the MASTIC lobby. The art exhibit will be on display from March 26th through June 24th and features amazing artworks and ceramics, drawing, painting, stained glass created by the current and past MASTIC students. The art will be on display in the MASTIC lobby and will be open weekdays from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. There's going to be a volunteer appreciation luncheon honoring the MASTIC volunteers on April 18th from 10:30 to 1 p.m. The MASTIC Arts and Crafts Boutique will take place on Saturday, April 27th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the MASTIC Social Hall. You can shop for unique handcrafted items while supporting MASTIC's artists. And the MASTIC Thrift Shop is open Tuesdays and Saturdays from 10 till 2. You can find some good finds there if you're looking. They also take donations there, but please visit their website because they have a specific list of items that they collect or accept. For park maintenance now, so we had a big water break at the Washington restrooms, which we got repaired, so all those facilities are up and running again. We installed more drip irrigation at Lidecker in preparation for a tree planting for Rotary Club volunteers. We've completed all the repairs to both the Grand Street and Encinal Both ramps that were damaged by the storms, and those two facilities are now fully open. The sports fields are now open for the spring season. We've had a wet start, so we've been navigating closures and openings and trying to accommodate as many of the teams and school practices as we can, or games. Staff completed several ongoing safety trainings, including playground safety inspection, staff culture, safety culture discussion, and ergonomics and lifting. This is really important to keep our staff safe and keep our parks clean. Somebody that do that. The McKinley Playground has started its installation late last week, and we anticipate it being open by the end of March, which will be great. We've also worked with, we had an unfortunate incident at the Gene Sweeney Railroad Building where there was a fire. We've secured the facility. We're currently seeking quotes for what it will take to sort of rectify some of the fire damage. Really not do a ton of work, but to clean it up and to make it at least presentable to the community. So we'll be working on that. The MASTIC Senior Center, its roof is scheduled to be replaced. That's going to be out to bid. It's it's about $1.5 million job in order to put get the roof on. Unfortunately, during this wet season, there were more leaks at the center. Staff did what they could to try to patch those repairs. So there's that. We've got quotes out at that we expect back for Cruzy Park for the resurfacing of the tennis courts there. We also have expecting quotes back for the next segment of the shoreline pathway along Bay Farm Island to be repaved. We did one large section last year, or two segments, and this year we'll be doing another. And then later in the fall, we're going to be planning on doing one more segment. So the goal is to get that overall walk pathway smoothed out for everyone. Now I want to give you an update on pickleball. So the park system had four courts striped at Lydecker Park. We purchased movable nets. We've put signs up for the hours of use. These were all coordinated with a working group with both the HOA as well as the pickleball and tennis, and to develop the schedule of hours. We've decided that we would have a 1 month check-in at first to see if there's any issues, but that working group will be the one that will resolve should anything come up and how do we address those issues. I was out there last Friday and there was a group of six people already out there playing. I went out over the weekend. There was an additional four people, and all four courts were being used in the middle of the day. So we're excited that there's more opportunity for it here. And we're gonna treat this like a trial, like we had discussed. So, you know, we're working with staff to get set times where they'll go out, record the numbers of people that they see out there, and really try to bring those numbers back to you probably after about a 3 month period, just kind of let you guys know exactly what the numbers are. And so that'll be really helpful for, you know, moving forward should we decide to stripe and multi-stripe at other locations. So I think that's the most fair and compromised way in order to try to provide that. Estuary Park, just give you a little update as to why it has not come to the commission yet. We have been working on funding and making sure that the design that we do bring to you can be built with the funding that we have. I was able to secure that this week with our finance director. So we've given the designers go ahead to start their process so that we can bring it to you probably in the set. I'm hoping for May, but it may be June. So with that said, that's pretty much the rest of my report.
Thank you, Director Long. If anybody wants to know what anybody down at the ARPD office does all day, there it is, and it's much more. Just a quick question. Could you just elaborate on how many staff you have down there working on all of these events?
So we have 18 maintenance staff. That includes everyone who takes care of everything for the parks. And then we have 11 full-time staff members that run the recreation division, including Mastic. So we have a small but mighty force. We are accompanied by many part-time staff, and it really is the largest part of our department. We account for almost 90% of the city's part-time staff workforce. So just in aquatics alone, it has over 100 lifeguards. So, you know, we really do try to balance out what we can, but it really is run by a mighty dedicated staff, Pat Rusi, Christina Bailey, Stacy Thomas, and Morris McKay. They all really put their heart and soul into being able to try to provide a good complement of programs that are high quality to our community.
Thank you. Anybody have any comments or questions? Commissioner Reides?
I'd love to ask a question. First of all, just congratulations on that fairly incredible roster of programming that you and your team are producing. There must be more hours in the day than I'm aware of. I'm hoping that you might be able to provide us some context. I had to be reminded this week, which I suppose is notable in itself, that this is the fourth anniversary of COVID, the onset of COVID on the 13th. And I'm curious whether you can share with us to what extent, especially looking forward to the summer, to what extent do you feel like the department is operating over any restrictions still due to COVID at this stage of the experience? And to what extent has programming rebounded to pre-pandemic levels or perhaps even exceeded where the department was before the pandemic?
Yes, so the pandemic really did impact programs. Last year, by the end of last year, we were almost right where we were pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And this summer season, I think it'll actually push us over that. We will be busier than we were prior to COVID.
Amazing.
And so in trying to bring all of those programs back, we've added things that didn't even exist before. So that being said, you know, that is happening. We're not heavily impacted currently by restrictions. We still have a California and an Alameda County reporting process required. Mm-hmm. So should any of our staff get COVID, we have to send out notifications to people and still also document that with the county. But currently we're operating as if those, you know, the COVID conditions are no more.
Amazing. So, yeah. Congratulations. Yeah.
So thank you.
Great question. Anybody else have a question or comment?
I have.
Commissioner Burney?
As it relates to the pickleball situation at the Decker Park, is that the trial or is that the permanent solution at that particular park?
We're running it now as a trial technically, but we did stripe the court because it putting down tape and having it come off, it really was the only way in order to have a visible and operable trial. So, you know, we will see how this goes. We'll bring it back. If it works with the community, we'll have that conversation. Mm. And we'll look at trying to continue pickleball at Lydecker Park.
And the same communication will occur if it's not successful.
Correct.
Okay. Because the only concern that I have is obviously when these things happen, people get used to certain situations. Mm-hmm. And therefore, hopefully it is a success. But if it's not a success, then just to make sure that everybody is understanding that it is a trial and not a permanent solution. At least for now. For now, it's a trial. And hopefully it will be a permanent solution. But just in case it isn't, then people don't have raised expectations.
I mean, exactly. That's why we formed that working group. That's mm-hmm. why we're having touch points. And so if issues do arise, we can address them then. And if they are so great that we can't address them, mm-hmm. then we will have to work with everyone to mm-hmm. have that solution as to, we tried this, it is not working, and you know we'll have to try to figure something else out. You know, and maybe it's at that point, it is waiting for the estuary development. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm really positive, and I've gotten positive feedback from both sides so far. So, you know, as we move forward, I think we will have to have that conversation. I do believe that, you know, providing resurfacing at Cruzy may alleviate some of the stress that tennis may be feeling. Mm. And so as we do this, we're going to be working with all the parties involved.
Mm. And my next comment relates to the career and job fair. Mm-hmm. Is that just an opportunity for high school students to get employment, or is it also an opportunity for them to learn how to put together a resume or develop interview skills?
So the school district has worked to put this program on annually, and they provide that training through their life skills class. And so what we're there to do, and this is primarily only for high school students, mm-hmm. and it's not just us there, it's there with all sorts of companies across Alameda and different organizations. And it's really trying to give kids those summer opportunities mm-hmm. to try out in the workforce mm-hmm. because, you know, this often is some their first jobs mm-hmm. and where they have to learn about accountability, coming to work, communication. It really teaches a set of life skills that's highly important. And we're there because many of our participants often become our staff. And so as they become 16 and above, they now have the opportunity to work for us. And so it's a really good opportunity to provide to our local students. So
all right.
We're excited.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else?
I've got two. I'll start with the pickleball one. I don't know if we have this data, but I'd also be interested if the courts at Lydecker are taking some pressure off of the courts at Lincoln. I know if I'm ever at Lincoln, I'm there on a Saturday, and it's insane how many people are lined up for pickleball. So that'd be something I'd be interested in, even if it's just a gut feel. Like, is that actually taking some pressure off Lincoln? Or are people just playing at Lydecker versus playing in Oakland, I think would be something to try to just gauge.
Yeah, I think that would be a little challenging, but I mean, I think we will have those conversations with a lot of the pickleball community who are there, who can actually tell us a little bit more if it has relieved some pressure. The growth of the sport is exponential, and so, you know, even with the hub being open, you know, I've go to Lincoln courts almost twice a week or three times a week, and there is always a line outside. It doesn't matter the time of day I've gone. So, you know, that's there's going to be competitiveness just for access. So, you know, I think the expansion of four courts has alleviated a little bit. But we've worked with our internal classes. We've taken all beginner classes off of Lincoln and moved them to Lydecker. And then we also made a compromise where we've capped the number of students or that can attend in a class, so there will always be two open courts at Lincoln for play. So that will be in full effect by the end of this month. And so, it's a good compromise.
Great, perfect. And the second one is the Shoreline Park repaving that you talked about.
Yep.
We've done two sections, one more coming up, one more in the fall. Is that everything, or how many sections are there total?
I believe that should cover all of it.
Okay.
Unless there's one more middle segment, but I'm pretty sure that covers all of it.
Okay, cool, great.
All the way up to the ferry terminal.
To the ferry terminal, okay, yeah,
yes. Perfect. And this next segment will be from the ferry terminal for the first 2,000 feet.
Okay.
So,
great.
Commissioner Robbins, any comments?
Nope.
Okay. I just want to speak to pickleball. I think it was a year ago May, if my memory serves me right, that we started this process about trying to find other places for pickleball. And I know it's been a long and arduous process. I just want to thank the public for being so patient with us. There were a lot of changes at ARPD during that time. I want to compliment Director Long and his staff for working this out. And hopefully everyone will follow the rules that we have in place and it will work out and it'll be a positive process. So I just wanted to say thank you for being so patient. All right, so next item on the agenda is Commissioner Communications. Commissioner Burney, would you like to start?
Yes, I would. In less than a month now, an event is going to happen. You might have heard from it on the news, you might have heard me speak about this last month, but this is the occurrence of a solar eclipse. And now you might be wondering why I'm bringing this up as often as I do. It is because if you've never seen a solar eclipse, it is one of the greatest things you will see in a lifetime. Imagine that the moon's shadow is approaching you. It is the only time you can see the sun unaided without any type of equipment. You will see stars, you will see planets, animals act weird, people act weird, and it only lasts for a few minutes. And after that, you will be amazed and in awe of such an event. Such a thing is occurring on April 8th, I believe, in the middle of the country. Now, you might be able to see a partial eclipse here in California, but if you have the opportunity, I would highly recommend that you go to the middle of the country to see such an event. This will probably be the last time you hear of this from me, so because the next one will not occur in the U.S. anyway, for 50 years. And therefore, while I would like it if people go to the parks to view the partial eclipse, I would highly recommend traveling to the middle of the country to see such an event. And that is all for my commissioner's report.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Rades.
Thank you. Well, first of all, what a beautiful day to spend in a park. Today was spectacular. I also got to start my morning with a meeting up in Santa Rosa, and driving up through the Sonoma Valley this morning was a great reminder of all the natural wonders we have in this part of the country and how fortunate we are. Would love to just thank and congratulate the park staff for recovering the parks after the recent storms. Hopefully February showers bring March flowers, but the parks look wonderful, so congratulations. Also want to offer thanks for this wonderful activity guide, the arrival of which is, I know, anticipated by many Alameda families in particular as we all plan our summers, and would encourage members of the public to check that out and make their plans accordingly. And also encourage everyone to get out for many of those volunteer opportunities that were mentioned in Director Long's report. Spring is stewardship season. There are a lot of great opportunities to get out and look after our waterways and our green spaces. Want to conclude just by sharing two personal anecdotes that I think lift up a bit of the value of our great parks here in town. The first is, since we last met, my family adopted a dog from a rescue from up in Sacramento. And I'll tell you that being out in our parks early in the morning and late in the evenings has put me in contact with an entirely new slice of Alameda community. And if it weren't for this great addition to our family and also these great third spaces that exist, we wouldn't be in contact with those people. So it's a wonderful example. And the second is my son came bouncing home from school this afternoon. And instead of spending his afternoon playing video games, he decided he was going to go off to Lincoln Park to go see his friends. So first of all, that was wonderful to have that option for him to be able to have a neighborhood park for him to go visit. And while he was there, serendipitous meeting with the high school baseball team led him to interacting with a couple of coaches on the team. And then he spent the afternoon, on the fence watching the high school baseball team practice. So for a young ball player, those are the types of things that take you a long way. So two just everyday examples about how these great parks can play a really important role in family and youth life. Just very grateful for those. So thank you.
Thanks for sharing that. Commissioner Robbins?
Thank you. April 20th coastal cleanup, I was a part of this last year, and it's a great event, and it's a great event for families, mm-hmm. And for families with new dogs in the families to get out. So I would encourage people to go to that event. It will be a good event. The Neighborhood Parks Walk, I'm glad it's back. 6 years ago went on it and learned a lot of things on the one that I went on, and there are different ones. So it's a great way to learn about the history and a great way even for us as commissioners to learn more about the city itself and how parts of the city integrate with our park systems. So I would encourage people to go to that. I do want to hats off to the department and what you did with the Lidecker and the fact that you did paint the stripes such a significantly different color, because it, unknown to anybody who doesn't play these types of sports, makes a huge difference with it. So whether that was intentional or not, that was a great idea.
Intentional,
good, good. I was hoping you'd say that. and I like the foldable nets as well. I play at Mills College every Sunday, and they have a different setup, and theirs are much more cumbersome. So I really like the system that you have in place there. The Arts and Crafts Festival on the 27th, I did attend that last year when they had it, and it's a great event, and I encourage you to get out to that event, the people of Alameda. And even though it's not a Parks and Rec or city function, Wood Middle School is hosting an astronomy night on April 18th. It's a Thursday night from 8 o'clock on. The East Bay Astronomical Society, eight of the members are bringing their $10,000 plus scopes out onto the blacktop. And we actually work with Rittler Park and with the baseball group to ensure that the lights are dim for this event. But it's an amazing way for families to bring your kids out and to see Saturn up close and looking just like it does in the pictures and on the computers that we see, but your kids will see them live, the different planets. So it's because of the East Bay Astronomical Society and the science department at Wood Middle School that this event will take place for anybody in Alameda from 8 o'clock on April 18th. And that is all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Robbins. Vice Chair Schwartz.
I don't drive by Lydecker Park often, but I happened to on, what was that? Yeah, yesterday, coming back from the ferry, and saw some people playing pickleball, so that was great. I specifically drove that way to make sure to see if anyone was playing, and there were people on the courts at probably like 5 o'clock on a Wednesday, so that was great to see the use happening already so quickly there. Also just great to see the parks busier in general with the nicer weather. As I was driving past Cruzy to go home, all softball teams were practicing. Yesterday was a pretty nice day as well, not as nice as today, but great to see the parks getting a little busier. And this totally doesn't always totally fall under parks, but you know, there's definitely been some maintenance issues at Encinal Pool. Some chlorine levels too low, the next day chlorine levels too high. So just wanna, you know, I know that falls partially under the school district as well, but especially with Emma Hood closure coming up, wanna make sure we hopefully have that under control. Really warm, pool's like 85 one day, which is great when it's, you know, 8-year-old swimming. It's not great when you have 30, 40, 50, 60-year-olds trying to push ourselves. It's not great to have high school students. You know, pools are supposed to be about 77 to 82 for fitness. That did get a little bit better. It was a little warm again yesterday, so hopefully it doesn't get too much warmer. But yeah, other than that, I'm looking forward to getting some nicer weather, making some more trips to the park. My son's way too young for a lot of things in this activity guide, but there are things that I'm hoping are still there 5-6 years down the road. I know that he's gonna love, so definitely check it out. Thanks.
Thank you. This is March, it's Women's History Month, and I've had a tradition since I've been on the commission, and since I'm the only woman sitting up here tonight, I'm gonna continue that tradition. I would just like to pay homage to all the former females that have worked in ARPD. We've had female directors, we've had Lucille Harrison, the Harrison Center at Lincoln Park is named after her. Bea Rowney was a star softball player who was one of the assistant directors at one time, and the parks have always had, to my knowledge, a female director along with a male director. And even in the summer we got an extra male director, there was still a female director at every park. So, and I know that the staff down at the ARPD office, and I don't want to mention names because I don't want to leave anybody out, but you know who you are. I just want to say what a great job we've done in the past and we continue to do. And hopefully at one of these meetings, we'll be able to name a park, Women's Park, after all the women of ARPD. So that's my March Women's History Month. I went down to the pickleball courts at Lydecker. I got out and nobody was playing, but I got out and looked at the nets and the court and all that. I drive by there quite frequently. I've only seen people playing once, but the weather has not been good this week, so I'm hoping that now that the sun's out that I'll get a chance to stop by and talk with some of the players. I went by Estuary Park on, I think it was Saturday. Oh my gosh, the field was full. I don't know what game they were on, what that was doing, and there was soccer on the other field. And I kind of parked in, took some time to walk around where Estuary Park will continue, where the pickleball courts were, just to kind of get a sense of the area that we look at. So that was a good thing. Soccer at Rittler Park, in full swing again. Every time you go by, there's kids playing soccer. You can't find a parking place. Rugby at Tillman. Now that I've never seen that before till this weekend. They had adult rugby. There was a barbecue going on. I almost stopped to get out and go join in the fun. It looked like it was so much fun. Cruzy softball diamonds, to see those diamonds full of girls playing just warms my heart. When I was teaching, I did a program with Oakland A's called Home Run Readers, and it was to encourage kids to read. And through that process, I found myself finding more books about girls who play baseball and that. So it really warmed my heart to see that. And just going to give you a trivia question. There's a girl who struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. You might want to find look her up and find out about her. And if you can't find her, let me know. I'll let you know all about her. And I have to say the Maastricht Thrift Store, I've taken many, many boxes to them the last few months. They have been very gracious and accepted everything I took down there. I did my best to only take items that they wanted, but they were very gracious, and I just want to say thank you to them. And that's all I have for today. All right, next item on our agenda is a regular agenda. We need to approve the minutes of the February 8th, 2024 Recreation and Park Commission meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Approve.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Burney?
Approved.
Commissioner Ray Dees?
Yes, approved.
Commissioner Robbins?
Yes.
Vice Chair Swartz?
Yes.
Chair Alexander?
Yes, minutes are approved. All right, now we're on to regular agenda item 6A. We need to approve the City of Alameda Transportation Plan for Seniors and People with Disabilities for the fiscal year of 2024 and 2025. We'll have a report and a presentation, then we'll ask clarifying questions, we'll have time for public comment, this commissioners will then discuss, and then we'll make a motion to approve. Director. Hi.
I haven't been here in person yet, so.
Okay. Welcome.
Is the slide gonna go up? There it is. And does this control it? Hello, Chair Alexander, Vice Chair Swartz, and members of the Recreation and Park Commission. My name is Catherine Caldas, or Kat, and I am the paratransit coordinator for the City of Alameda. I'm here tonight to present the transportation program plan for seniors and people with disabilities for fiscal year 2024 and 2025. Tonight we're going to review the status summary for the year fiscal year 2022 and 2023. We're going to go over the proposed plans for 2024-25. We're going to go over the planning process that we went through to come up with the plan, as well as the budget. The paratransit program is funded through Measure B and BB, which is a 1 cent sales tax. The paratransit fund is 1/10 of that percent. So this program is entirely funded through Measure B and BB, and it is administered through Alameda County Transportation Commission, also known as Alameda CTC. The status summary that we'll be going over tonight is the free AC Transit Bus Pass program, our AIM program, Alameda Independent Mobility, our travel training program, our outreach, disaster preparedness, group trips, capital program, and also the program management. The Alameda Free CTC AC Transit Bus Pass program is a second year of its third year pilot program. It's for low residents who are 65, or for those who are 18 to 64 with a disability, certified disability. It's a unique program to Alameda. We are currently the only city that provides this program, and it looks like we'll be the only city going forward for a while because AC Transit doesn't have the personnel to support it, but it is one of the most popular cities in the county. I get multiple calls every week from someone outside the city who wants it. And when I go to my Paratac meetings, other cities are all asking about it. To date, we started with a program that had 62 passes, and we happened upon it a little bit by accident. We were given an Easy Pass program, but Mastic didn't really fit in the Easy Pass program, but we had Easy Passes. So that provided an opportunity for us to collaborate with AC Transit to come up with a pay-as-you-go model. So currently this model, we pay $1.12 per ride, and we pay a small administration fee and a per card fee. We started with 62 passes. We currently have over 850, and we've had over 193,000 rides to date. I love my job. My job is about relationships. My job is about helping. Almost every day, someone is telling me what a difference the pass and these programs make in their lives. You can see some of the comments in Exhibit 2, the open-ended summaries that came. Those comments came from our annual survey that's provided every year. And our program is probably the best shape it's ever been in, and it has been acknowledged through the PAPCO committee, which oversees the plans, as one of the best in the county right now, especially for such a small city. It truly provides the three W's, I like to say: the freedom of when you travel, the freedom of where you travel, and the freedom of what you pay to travel. As I said, we've provided over 193,000 rides. You can see here that as the rides have increased, so have our unique number of users. What is one of the unique features of this plan is with AC Transit, we have over an 80% participation rate. That means 80 cards, passes that are out there are actively being used. It is the highest participation rate that they have in any similar program. Mm. As the number of rides go up, the cost goes down. So we've had a 31% decrease from December 22, and our current price is $1.15. I anticipate next year when this comes back to you, and we are looking at finalizing it after its third year of pilot, the cost will probably go up some because the AC Transit will probably be adding an administration cost. But, you know, it's been a good ride. The majority of pass holders use their pass over 10 times per month. 26 use their pass over 40 times per month. Contrast this with our shuttle, which ran 3 days a week. If someone took a round trip every day that the shuttle ran, that'd be 28 rides in a month. When you look at how many people are able to get out anytime and go anywhere, it is a significant improvement in the quality of life. 40% of the rides that are currently being taken are outside the hours of the shuttle operation. And when I look at the stats, we really do have people who are riding 7 days a week, all hours of the day, and they are going all over Alameda County. A large reason for the program's success is the participation of non-English speaking, and they're monolinguistic for the most part. Most of them are Chinese. We have 62%, which has added some challenges to the program, because communicating and trying to educate them about what's going on has been a growing program. It has started with me on my cell phone doing little Google Translate, and then I made a sheet where there were questions and they could point to yes or no. And now I am proud to say that all of our documents are translated into 5 different languages. We have simple Chinese for the Cantonese speakers. We have traditional Chinese for Cantonese, simple Chinese for the Mandarin speaker. We have Spanish, we have Tagalog and Vietnamese. For those who are over 50, and one of the things I'm really excited about is on March 22nd, we're going to have our first Transportation 101 class that will be entirely in Cantonese. All of the documents have been transported, and I have a volunteer who's going to translate for me. We also have a volunteer that comes in once a week to help folks fill out forms and to translate. For those who join the Bus Pass program, if they're over 50, we require that they join the Mastic Senior Center. So over 700 of the Mastic Senior Center's members are Bus Pass holders. That also means that there's a significant number who are Chinese speaking. We've been fortunate. We're starting to add some classes, like we have the Transportation 101. There's also a Chinese painting class. But this is hopefully looking at adding more classes to be able to address this population. What, from my experience, one of the things that I think has made the bus pass so popular is that when these folks come in, I really try to hear them. I really try to understand them. I get told that they love me, like, frequently. I don't think that happens a lot. And I think it's something that I'm really proud of our program for being able to do. As far as the age population, the spread, we do have 2% of bus pass holders who are over 90. We have 17% between 80 and 89, 49% between 70 and 79, 21% between 65 and 69, and 11% between 18 and 64. The bus pass program, when they come in, they're active bus pass holders, but sometimes it's evident that they could use a little more help, and it's a great transition to the next step of support for them. It's a great way to be able to say, hey, there's other programs out there. And having them in the MASTIC Center provides that same kind of support. I often am working with the caseworker that was talked about earlier, because our offices are right next door to each other, in supporting each other of, hey, you know, this person needs a little help, send them over. She sends them over my way when I transportation. So it's a real collaboration, and this program would not be successful without the support of the MASTIC employees. Because I'm only part-time on there 3 days a week, it is the MASTIC member, the MASTIC front desk lobby and the staff who will take in applications if I'm not there, who will make the copies of the proof of residency. So it's a wonderful collaboration, and I want to acknowledge that they are part of its success. Nice job, Director Long. We fund, in the past years, we have funded Easy Passes, which are free bus passes on AC Transit for Alameda Point Collaborative's 167 units. This year, the Clipper program has changed from Easy Passes to what they call a Bay Pass. It's now they're able to take and use the Easy Pass or the Bay Pass just like a regular Clipper card and go anywhere the transit goes. We are not able to subsidize all of it, but we are still subsidizing the portion that we would have paid towards an Easy Pass to help them be able to afford the Bay Pass. And I am here to recommend that we continue supporting Alameda Point Collaborative, 167 units, and also to continue the 3-year pilot program for Alameda's free AC Transit Bus Pass program. There is an increase of $42,064, so the total budget is $278,064. The AIM program provides 5 subsidized Uber and Lyft rides to residents who are fully enrolled in East Bay Paratransit. East Bay Paratransit works like an airport shuttle. You have to call the day before. They pick up someone, they go pick up someone else, they drop someone off, they drop someone else off. It's a fabulous service. I have used it myself when I was not able to drive because of a broken ankle. It is also, though, not very flexible if someone wants a ride on the moment. This program is meant to actually work together with East Bay Paratransit and to complement it. A person can have 5 rides per month. It's a use it or lose it. They pay the first $4, and then they pay everything over $25. And they can go anywhere in Alameda County. If they want to go outside of Alameda County, we can talk about it, and we have approved outside rides. So the program will pay up to $21. The average ride right now is $4.05. The average ride costs the city $54. As you can see from the graph, the number of rides are going up. It has been a program that has grown slowly, but it's a slow and steady growth. You can see here the number of unique users and the number of rides are all on a steady incline. Where you see the spikes on January 23 and August is where there was targeted outreach to them. Targeted outreach for this population is generally a lot of conversations. It's phone calls. There's still fear out there among more seniors to ride Uber and Lyft. They've heard stories, they're nervous. So a lot of them is education. A lot of it also is that the program provides oversight. They don't use Uber and Lyft app. They call into 211. 211 then will arrange for the ride. They also know exactly where they're picked up, what time they're picked up. They know when they're dropped off, what time they're dropped off. And they take care of all of the billing. It takes a long time to have a conversation to help someone understand that sometimes. 20 minutes is my average right now. So that's where you've seen I've been able to do some targeted enrollment and targeted outreach, and you've seen the spikes. This coming year, one of my goals is to really increase that target outreach to be able to really build this program to reach more people. The number of rides provided last year in 2022 were 525. This year we've increased by 94% and we're provided 1,018 rides. The average number of rides provided was 44 in 2022. We've increased that by 93% to 85. And the average number of unique riders increased 100% from 13 to 26. You can see here part of the challenge that I was talking about. In 2022, there was only 32% of the participants who were active riders. We've been able to increase that to 47% this year. And we're seeing more people use it sooner when they sign up. So I think we're doing a better job of educating folks when they sign up. The average participant cost is down from $4.53 to $4.05. The average ride that we pay is down from $119 to $58. So the more rides that are taken, the ride's cost will go down because we have a fixed cost that we pay to the 211 representative and Eden INR who runs 211. So as rides go up, the cost comes down. We are recommending that we continue with the current three-year program. It has the same budget of $125. Customer service and outreach consists of a monthly presentation of Transportation 101. The first half talks about what programs are available and answers questions. The second half usually is targeted with a guest speaker from Clipper, from the city, from the police department, and or we will do an app training class. So I created a training program and a tutorial that takes folks through how to plan their trip on their phone. It often also teaches them how to download an app onto their phone. So it's been really wonderful. We have folks who come back 2 and 3 times learning something more each time. They can take the handout back with them and practice. And it's been really good to help folks feel that they have more freedom. We also provide a monthly training of Hop on the Bus. When we started the Bus Pass program, I heard feedback that they were afraid to take the bus. Now, I have to be honest, before I started this program, I had not taken a bus since my daughter was 3 years old. She's now 23. When I took the bus, it was a little horrific for me. I had a toddler, I had a baby, I had a stroller, I had a diaper bag. My daughter had a great time. I went, oh my, I don't want to do it again. I end up here in the paratransit position, and I think I better start taking the bus. And I was really, really pleased to see how clean they are, how safe it feels, and how easy they are to navigate. I take the bus regularly now, and I created the program Hop on the Bus with Us to help folks get over that same hurdle for them. We take and we talk about a little bit of planning, and then we take and hop on the bus, and we take it down to Park Street, or we take it over to the farmer's market. We have coffee at Pete's, or Starbucks, if that's their favor, or we have ice cream at Tucker's. It's a wonderful event, and it also is a wonderful way that people are getting to know each other. I also provide Clipper card assistance. I help with folks signing up with East Bay Paratransit. I write the press releases. I put out the annual survey. I update the website, and I provide in-person and phone support and follow-up and tabling at events. Because we're no longer having to support the shuttle, we don't need to print the schedules, we don't have to pay for the wonderful ad that we had at the theater, we're actually decreasing this budget to $11,200. Our capital improvement is funded through our program's reserves. So they go towards one-time projects, and this year we're going to improve bus stop access, ADA improvement, as part of the major corridor updates to the Clement Avenue and the Central Avenue projects. Last year they installed 23 different bus benches at bus stops, as well as updating some, I think there were three updates to actual bus stops. We're going to increase the total budget to $800,000. And that's an increase of $225,000. The group trips, you were talking about the COVID. I have to tell you, we are one of the few cities that is providing full rides, no limitations. Other cities are still having restrictions. And our Mastic monthly trips, they sell out every time. One of the most popular events. We pay for the buses for that. Help to subsidize that. We also pay for the driver for the leisure club. And if it ever starts up again, we pay for the transportation for the skilled nursing home annual picnic. So no change in the budget, $27,000. This is where the biggest change I think is coming. I used to be funded only 18 hours, and this year we took it to 28 hours because of the rise in demand. The leisure club driver is still 10 hours a month. We have a part-time administrative support of 6 hours per week. And to actually reflect what the program costs are, to more truly reflect, we now have added in 5% of a full-time employee of the transportation planning manager, who over is my manager, and 2% full-time employee for administrative services coordinator, who processes all of the paperwork and tracks the funding into the appropriate fund. This year, we're going to conduct, we always have money in the budget for on-call experts, and the on-call experts that Alameda CTC uses is Nelson and Nygaard. We're going to conduct a study for organizational to see if paratransit is kind of a free-for-all department. In all cities, it's under all different departments. It's under public works, it's under the parks, it's under transportation. It just seems to be everywhere. No one really knows where it lives. And I think we're trying to figure out where it lives, because I used to be under actually ARPD, because I started as an ARPD employee. Now I'm over in transportation, but I don't really interact with transportation, so they're trying to figure that out. And this study is going to actually look at that, and I think it's also going to address if there needs more support in the program, because it's a one-woman show right now. We're recommending to fund a part-time paratransit coordinator, the group driver, the part-time administrative support, the percent of the FTE department support staff, as well as the money to support the organizational review. You can see by the paratransit contacts that I have over 22,000 contacts in a year. I spend a lot of time talking, but I'm really good at talking, so it works out. The total budget is $97,091. It's an increase of $50,980. Our planning process starts with our survey. We have in the past put it out every fall. This year we're going to be putting it out in July so that it actually is going to line up with our fiscal year. We then analyze that, we come up with our staff report, and we come to four commissions. We come to you, we come to the Commission on Persons with Disabilities, the Transportation Commission, the Social Service Human Relations Board. We present it to council, and then when all of that's said and done, I take it to Alameda CTC, and they tell me if it's good or not. Thumbs up or down. It's been up so far. This is our budget. As you can see, we still will have some reserves of $40,000. And that is my, that concludes. If you have any questions.
Thank you very much for that very detailed report and for all the work you do too. I can tell that you enjoy what you do, and that makes a big difference with those seniors, I'm sure.
It does.
Now's a chance to ask any questions. I mean, how many questions they like to ask? Vice Chair Schwartz?
Yeah, as a frequent, not so frequent as anymore since not going into the city as often, but big fan of AC Transit. When I lived in Oakland, I took it into the city every day. That's how I generally get to San Francisco if I need to end up there now. I love public transportation, so for me it wasn't, but I know there's definitely a kind of fear factor sometimes, so I appreciate you having those programs to help seniors become a little bit more comfortable with just taking the bus. One question I do have though, I know AC Transit is looking at making several changes and cuts to AC Transit lines in Alameda that specifically impact Alameda. How do you see that impacting ridership?
We have a really, we have an ILC that meets quarterly with AC Transit, and I'm part of that. We have a really unique relationship in that I think we have probably one of the best relationships between city and AC Transit. When they asked for our input on the realign and they were ready to go forward, our input was not really favorable. It told them exactly what we didn't like and where we thought it was falling short. And I believe it made a difference because they pulled back and they said, we need to reassess this. I'm hoping that it doesn't impact the ridership. I think the lines that people are worried about are the 20
yeah.
and the 21 and also the 19. It's hard to say what they're gonna do. What I can say is that we are there and we are loud and we are fighting for really good service, to keep our service. There are areas that was really still are not served as well as it could be. There's room for improvement and I'm hoping that we can get there. It's a wait and see, and I encourage people to come and make their voices heard.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Commissioner Burney?
I have a few questions.
Yes.
The first one is, one of the comments mentioned that it took a long time to get the bus pass. So how exactly does one get it, and is there a waiting list?
There is not a waiting list yet. I anticipate as we approach 900 passes that we will probably start a waiting list to see if the rides continue to grow with those who have passes. Mm-hmm. If we continue going at the rate we are, before the end of the year, we'll hit 900.
Mm-hmm.
The process to get a bus pass is a form that they fill out. It's for low income, and they have to be a resident of Alameda, obviously, which some people don't read.
Mm.
They have to provide proof of residency, and then I send it into AC Transit. We tell folks that it could take up to 4 weeks.
Mm.
We don't necessarily have control over how long it gets there. That said, there have been times when it took longer. Partially, I've gotten sick, and I'm the only person mm-hmm. who's doing this, which is the unfortunate part, is when I'm not there, it stops.
Okay, second question is, you mentioned that 80% of all the individuals who have a pass use the pass,
mm-hmm.
and 20% did not, or do not. Is that right?
Right, yep.
Okay, so what happens to that 20%? Do they continue to have the pass, or?
Well, it just so happens that I am in the middle of an audit, and I am going through 5 4-inch binders to make sure that everyone is current with the most recent application, that they have their current residency. Because it was a pilot program, it's changed as we've gone along. We didn't always ask for the residency requirement. The applications have changed. And in doing so, we're also finding out who is still living in their residence and who has moved. They don't always tell us. We're also finding out who maybe didn't live there to start, because we have a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I do anticipate after the audit that we will be deactivating some of the passes.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there are some folks who only ride the bus mm-hmm. maybe once a month.
Yeah.
I encourage those folks to still get the free bus pass.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is I want to put as many options for transportation in their bucket as possible. It maintains their independence. In doing that, I also say, if you're still driving, start taking transportation now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait until you give up your car to learn how to take it. If you start taking it now when you give up the car, it's not going to be a fearful thing. So I encourage folks who still are driving, they might take it once a bit. So I think 20% of that might be some of those folks too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my third question is, so right now the number of people using the program is 850.
That's how many passes we've given out.
Are you assuming that that number will continue to increase? Because this is a three-year pilot.
Right?
So we're on year number two.
We're in year number two.
Okay.
Yes, I do. The word is out there, and I still am getting anywhere from 20 to 30 passes per month.
Mm.
I do. It's a unique program. It is popular, and it also is serving, we're serving some folks who I've worked with, Operation the Village of Love and Dignity Village, to be able to set up a program that they can get bus passes as well. So some of the turnover are through those programs.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I do see it as a continuing growth.
Mm-hmm. And my last question, this relates to the AIM program, is that some of the comments were negative. It looks like it's not as popular as the bus program, but that's for fear of using Uber and Lyft.
It also has the requirement that you have to be fully enrolled in mm-hmm. East Bay Paratransit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks, when they hear East Bay Paratransit, they think that's for someone who's disabled.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's for anyone who has trouble taking the fixed route, anyone who has trouble on BART or bus by themselves. It may be because of balance. It may be because they have trouble on curbs or their vision. There's a myriad of reasons that they might. But getting them to take that step to understand that it's a service that can support them is not always easy.
And right now, it's just you, right?
Yes.
Is there any hope or plan that it goes beyond you? Because like you said, these are good programs, but if you're sick or unavailable, it stops.
The study will look into that, but at this time, no.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Commissioner Robbins?
So as Kat said, and for anybody who's listening who happens to have seniors in your family, I agree completely. Encourage people to start using it now. We're going through this issue with a mother who is refusing to give up the car, even though it's been totaled three different times in the last 6 months. To try and get them to release that fear of independency. So anybody who is watching, I encourage you to try and help people to use the system.
Are they members of the Mastic Club?
No, this is in Pennsylvania.
Oh, we're, I'm sorry. We're Otherwise, I'd say, come to my distance. Transportation 101.
No, she actually was in Mastic this last visit in January. As she visits, she comes, but that's to play cards and to try and win money. That's another story. The AIM 211, do they have to use the AIM program and call 211 to get the Uber Lyft, or is that just if they have hesitancy? Because I'm just thinking, if they don't have to go through that program, that can also help reduce the cost as well.
Yes, they have to go through 211.
Okay.
I was just talking with my manager today, and there are other TNC programs out there. Fremont currently has an agreement that is directly with Lyft, that they can actually use their app, and when they go in for payment, it provides the subsidized. So I think that there are other options out there. We also have to get through the pilot before we can really make any changes.
Okay, yeah, because I would encourage, that would be one way, I think, to save some money, is to try and...
Well, and there's a lot of seniors, excuse me, but there's a lot of seniors who are using and comfortable using Uber and Lyft.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And especially as the younger generation gets older, including myself, we're very adept at it. So that would be one good thing. The customer service and outreach program, is there ever a thought of doing one session video taped so that then people can watch it? I know that's an additional cost and you are strapped for people, but maybe there would be a way to offer that training so that those that are even hesitant to come in could get the training that you're providing.
That's an excellent idea, and I think it's something I would like to record and to put on the website.
Yeah.
One of the challenges, I think, of that, and one of the wonderful outcomes of the Transportation 101 in person, is that people get to hear other people's questions. It's it's that exchange. It's a very interactive class. I hate standing up and just talking. And I think that some people they don't necessarily know the questions they want to ask, and someone will, I've seen it happen a lot where someone will ask and they're like, oh yeah, how do you do that? So it would lose that interaction, but I think it's an excellent idea, and it has been something that we've talked about, and unfortunately it's just me right now,
right.
So it hasn't gotten there yet.
Right. And the one area that the budget is being increased, strongly approve, which is making the stops more user-friendly. And as the commissioners know, I'm all for shade. And my husband and I, to help reduce carbon emissions, we take the bus constantly to Oakland or San Francisco just to help reduce our carbon footprint, and having to wait at bus stops without any kind of shade is not good. So I'm all in favor of that increase in that part of your budget for sure. And I'm in agreement with the whole program.
Thank you. And you should use the Click Fix if you have a request like, no, C Click Fix. If there's something that you see needs to be done, or you would like to put, see a shelter, a bus shelter put on a particular stop, enter it and let the transportation know.
Well, good, and I hope the general public heard that as well.
Click Fix.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Rades?
I don't have anything to add. I just want to say thank you for your work.
Thank you.
I just want to clarify a couple of things. You have to be an Alameda resident, correct?
Yes.
And low-income Alameda resident. When you get that bus pass, can you use it as many times as you want?
Oh, yes.
You can go every day to South Shore. You can do it. So there's just a matter of the cost there, okay? Again, thanks for all of your hard work. It looks overwhelming when you look at all of this, and I'm sure that it's even more overwhelming to you. Hopefully you will get some staff to help you.
Thank you.
But I think it's wonderful. All right, if there's no more clarifying questions, we need to ask for public comment. Is there any public comment on this issue?
No public comment.
All right, public comment is closed. Okay, do we need to have a discussion, or can we take a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the budget as presented.
Do you have a second?
Happy to make that second.
Thank you. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Burney?
Approved.
Commissioner Rades?
Yes, approved.
Commissioner Robbins?
Yes.
Vice Chair Swartz?
Yes.
Chair Alexander?
Yes. So we have approved the City of Alameda Transportation Plan for Seniors and People with Disabilities for the fiscal year of 2024-2025. Again, thank you for all of your hard work.
Thank you for your time.
All right, next item on the agenda is the next meeting, which is April 11th, 2024. Do we have any possible agenda items?
So there potentially will be an ADA transition plan coming forward. And then in May, we're looking at, I've reached out to the Arts Commission as requested. And so they are planning for the May 9th meeting of coming and presenting. You should have received a communication this afternoon from Donna with the actual a link to the plan. So please take some time to review it before that meeting. And that's what we have planned right now.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to add or suggest, or Commissioner Robbins?
Just want to let you know I will be in New York that week, so I will not be at that meeting.
Okay. Anybody else?
I also won't be at the April 8th meeting, or 10th. Sorry.
11th. Okay. I know I brought this up before, but I would like to have a presentation from the Leisure Club. All right.
I will aim to bring that on the April meeting.
Anything else? All right. Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.